Beiersdorf Chronicle, the podcast. This episode is about Oskar Troplowitz and how he crucially shaped the Beiersdorf company. In 1890, the company is at a crossroads. Company founder Paul Beiersdorf is devastated. His son took his own life. Paul Beiersdorf decides to sell the company, and he quickly finds a buyer, a man who is the exact opposite of him, someone who will crucially change the company philosophy, Oskar Troplowitz. Their correspondence shows that these two businessmen are distinctly different. Troplowitz writes, "I respectfully entreat you to inform me about the expenses for your advertisement account. Moreover, it would be pleasant to hear in which professional journal your gutta-percha plasters are being advertised, and which congresses and exhibitions you plan to visit to advertise your products." Beiersdorf responds,
"I don't have an advertising account, and I don't know what it is. My free advertising is the scientific work of dermatologists on my preparations."
Thorsten Finke, history manager at Beiersdorf.
Beiersdorf did not believe in advertising. He wanted his products to speak for themselves and only accepted recommendations from experts in medical journals as advertising. He considered advertising in consumer magazines to be dubious. The correspondence so also shows that Beiersdorf was a pharmacist through and through.
Oskar Troplowitz and Paul Beiersdorf try to collaborate in the company, but after a short time it becomes obvious that these two cannot work together. So Paul Beiersdorf leaves the company on the 1st of October 1890, before the contractual date. Their ideas for the company's future are just too different. Oskar Troplowitz pays him the pending unpaid balance, 10,000 mark. And so, beginning in the fall of 1890, he is the sole chief of the company, and he has some plans. But who is this man who shaped the company with his brands and social accomplishments to the present day? Oskar Troplowitz is born in Gliwice in today's Poland in 1863. He is a brilliant young man who, as desired by his father, completes an education to be a pharmacist and afterwards studies chemistry. Right before he buys into Beiersdorf, he graduates in chemistry, physics and botany in Heidelberg.
And as a pharmacist, he probably already knew about the Beiersdorf preparations. Since he wanted to stand on his own two feet, this was an interesting opportunity for him. The dowry he received from his wife's family also helped him later on to build and expand the factory in Hamburg-Eimsbüttel.
Beiersdorf is already a very good name at the beginning of the 1890s. The gutta-percha plasters have made the small company famous all over Europe. So Troplowitz keeps the company name. It is much easier to spell than his own name anyway. Just like Paul Beiersdorf, the new boss works very closely with Paul Gerson Unner. In his practice, the dermatologist tests the products that Oskar Troplowitz eventually brings to the market. Besides, Unna also publishes articles in professional journals. Oskar Troplowitz modernizes his new company. The 190 products soon have printed labels, which simplifies the processing with orders. Those are the first steps toward process automatization. Business is rolling. In 1892, the Beiersdorf company moves to Hamburg-Eimsbüttel. Finally, the firm has its own premises and bigger machines.
So thanks to these printed labels, he was able to send his preparations much faster, and the order volume was greatly increased by this supposedly simple step.
Registered trademark. This concept is a tremendous luck for the Beiersdorf company. Brands like Nivea, Atrix, Labello, Eucerin and later Hansaplast are part of Beiersdorf to this day. Besides these famous brands, Oskar Troplowitz invented many more. Altogether, by 1915, there are 29 different brands, which are all registered as trademarks. In 1896, Oskar Troplowitz signs an exclusive contract with Paul Gerson Unner, with whom he has researched new products for years by then. Unner is allowed to use Beiersdorf's laboratories, while Beiersdorf is allowed to use Paul Gerson Unner's name for advertising. The contract is one of the company's big milestones and crucial for its advancement. The importance of these two men is obvious to this day. There's a Troplowitz Street and a Unner Street right around the Beiersdorf headquarters in Hamburg. Oskar Troplowitz is a visionary in his day. In 1903, the Brand Union is founded. Because brands become more and more important, a good name, well-placed, stays in the consumer's mind. For example, Pebeco, Beiersdorf's very first brand, a toothpaste. The brand name is an acronym for the company name P. Beiersdorf & Co. Soon Pipeco is an international bestseller. In the United States, it is the number one toothpaste just right before the First World War. Especially because Troplowitz invests up to 18% of the sales in advertisements.
New advertising possibilities followed then in the 1910s with a cinema and the newly created advertising film. And also with outdoor advertising on public transport, such as buses and the newly underground or light railways.
Near the end of the Troplowitz era, even the first visual commercial is produced. The Tooth Devil is a short animated film that can be shown at the movies. In this silent film, you can see how teeth cry out for help. Then the devil comes with a gimlet and wants to destroy them. To their rescue comes a Pipeco toothpaste tube. Oskar Troplowitz has a soft spot for new technology. In 1906, he buys the first motorized vehicle for the Beiersdorf company, the first car, at a time when most of the traffic participants are still using horse and cart. Troplowitz also takes advantage of the new communication technologies. When the new Beiersdorf location is built in Hamburg-Eimsbüttel, in 1892, the first telephone also moves in and lays the foundation for new ways of communication within the company. Actually, Oskar Troplowitz never intended to be a businessman. As a young man, he liked art history. Later, he's a sponsor of the arts, even if he only, as he says, wants to buy decorative pieces. He buys many paintings, among them Renoir, Liebermann, and even an early Picasso. He keeps the Buveuse à Supier in his study. It will later be taken by the Nazis from the art gallery to which Oskar Troplowitz had bequested it after his death. Today, it is exhibited in the Art Museum of Bern. As a successful businessman, Oskar Troplowitz is aware of his social responsibility. His personal values and beliefs flow into his company. He pays Christmas bonuses, vacation bonuses, and he reduces working hours. He establishes a pension plan. Beiersdorf early on has something like a kindergarten, a room for breastfeeding, and an infirmary. Moreover, he is also engaged in Hamburg politics. In 1904, Oskar Troplowitz is elected on a left-center ticket into the Hamburger Bürgerschaft, the Hamburg City Parliament.
In his many and varied activities in the city parliament, he was particularly involved in urban planning and educational policy and was committed to the interests of workers and employees. He was also active for several years in the financial deputation and in the education authority. So, yeah, he had quite a busy schedule.
In the summer of 1914, World War I begins. The Beiersdorf company is very afflicted. Half of the company's sales come from foreign countries. German adversaries, like the United States, confiscate the brand rights. That is how the brand Pipeco is lost in the international market. And it takes a long time, as well as lawsuits, until it is finally back in Beiersdorf's possession. But it has lost a lot of relevance and can never regain its significance. At the start of the war, sales are increasing in Germany, especially because of the surgical supplies in the company's assortment. But from 1915 onwards, more and more employees are drafted and the sales collapse. Raw material supplies become sparse, and substitutes often do not have the same quality.
During the First World War, it was difficult to find metal for tubes or other metal packaging, so it was necessary to use cardboard or glass for the tubes, for example. At times, many preparations could not be produced at all due to the shortage of raw materials. So examples for these were the gutta-percha plasters, for which Beiersdorf recommended rubber plasters as a substitute.
World War I is a human, social, and for Beiersdorf also economical disaster. And then there's more. Only 6 months before the end of the First World War, Oskar Troplowitz dies on the 27th of April 1918 of a stroke.
He began to internationalize the company and open up markets in Europe and overseas, thus laying the foundation for Beiersdorf's sustained success. And during this time at Beiersdorf, the company grew consistently and the number of employees increased 50-fold in the Troplowitz era. It can be said quite clearly that without Oskar Troplowitz, the Beiersdorf company would most likely no longer exist today.
After Oskar Troplowitz dies, the whole company grieves because of his creativity, especially in developing new brands like Nivea and his employee benefits. He is an outstanding example of social entrepreneurship and shaped the company's DNA forever. His employees place an obituary that says, "Our dear and adored Mr. Dr. Oskar Troplowitz was a shining example of noble performance of one's duty, a true friend and counselor, an always helpful fatherly provider." Beiersdorf Chronicle. That's it for this episode. The newest issue of the magazine is available at the usual places at Beiersdorf Plants 1, 3 and 5. All chronicles and podcasts are available in digital form on the internet. Thank you for listening.